Bertie talks to the leader in association with the Guardian Voluntary Sector Network and becauseitsgood.org.
Hello, I'm Bertie Boredon. I've been working in the charity sector for over 10 years, and in this podcast, I'm meeting chief executives, senior managers and innovators of the third sector. I ask them about their motivation, challenges and vision. Welcome to Talk to the Leader. My guest has been practicing yoga since she was a teenager and teaching yoga since 1992. She has been the UK's leading practitioner and teacher trainer in yoga therapy for children with special needs since 2003. In 2004, she founded the Special Yoga Center to give yoga therapy for children with special needs. It's a real pleasure to welcome Jo Manuel, CEO of the Special Yoga Center. Hello, Jo.
Hello there.
Could you tell us a bit more about the work of the Special Yoga Center?
Well, the Special Work Yoga Centre was set up to house the work of Yoga for the Special Child, which is a yoga therapy program for children with special needs, covering a really wide range of special needs, from children who have physical disabilities, children with autism, children with emotional challenges, children with Down syndrome, children with epilepsy, and really any condition that comes through the door.
So I'm very interested in the history of the Special Yoga Center, because you set that up in 2004, but what made you decide to set up the Special Yoga Center?
Well, I've been practicing yoga for about 30-odd years, and I think there was something in me that always knew that I would have a center. What I didn't know years back is that it would involve children with special needs. But children have always been a very great love for me, and I had always assumed that I would actually have a big family, which I have two kids, but not a huge family. And, you know, I think that what's happened in my life is that instead of having my own, you know, millions of children in my own home, I work with, you know, millions of, or not millions of children, but thousands of children. So I kind of feel like my family's grown in a very different way. And the centre came really because my teacher and guide, who founded the Yoga for the Special Child program in Brazil 30-odd years ago, asked me to house the work in the UK. And it seemed to me that it needed to have a centre, and it needed a place where the parents could practice, and it needed to be a place of inclusion, and it needed to be a place of nurture, and somewhere where they all felt welcomed, which I think a lot of parents with children with special needs don't feel welcomed in an awful lot of places. You know, there aren't many places they can comfortably go and be and hang out. And I also felt that yoga was too expensive for an awful lot of the world. I mean, in the UK, you know, it's very much about middle class and people that have money that go and practice yoga. And I think that it's an extraordinary practice that perhaps isn't, you know, publicised well in the UK or in the West even, in regards to its therapeutic benefits. So I think it should be made available to more people.
So how long does it take from thinking of let's set up a centre and actually opening the door?
Well, you know, I it took me a little while, you know, once I had decided to, or once I was thinking about opening the centre, to actually get around to doing it, because I did it with no money. And I had also adopted a child, and I needed to get her settled. So, you know, so there was a lot of things going on in my own life, if you like, at the same time that Sonia, my teacher, was saying, please open a centre, please open a centre. And I kind of, whatever happened for me to cross that fear boundary of actually doing it, once I decided to do it, you know, there was nothing stopping me, really. And, it took an interesting journey, because I thought, well, OK, we need to find a location. So I thought, well, I need to be near to home. I have two relatively young children, and I can't be travelling around all over London, so I need to be near home. So I looked around for properties in the local area, found a couple of empty buildings, found out who owned them, wrote to the owners, and one of them called me and said, come and talk to me about what you want to do, said you can have this space for a year for free. So I hired lawyers, set up the charity, and then in the midst of this, he reneged, so I find we're homeless, which was fine, you know, it's the way life worked, but at least we had the charity set up. And then I rented a space. I was already doing the work in my own house anyway, but that was becoming increasingly more difficult because the larger disabled children, I don't have a lift. A lot of the space that I was using wasn't on the ground floor. My younger daughter was also not happy about having troops of people coming in and out the house. She was quite, in the early days, unnerved by, you know, children with learning difficulties who made a lot of noise as opposed to being verbal. So I had to take it out of my personal space and into an individual space. And we found a space for a little while, but there was a woman who lived upstairs accused me of poisoning her because I lit some incense occasionally to take the smell away. And she came down with her spray can and sprayed madly all over the place. and then we found another space, but it was through one of my trustees. But it was, we got, the council phoned me within a week of being there saying you're trading in a residential area. So, and then the place that we've been in for the last 6 years appeared. You know, it was one of those amazing moments. And it was, it's quite a large space that we have, which, you know, was not initially my intention, but what we have now, although we do have to move again at the moment. And, you know, the landlord said to me, you know, I don't know who you are, you know, you're a new organisation, I want you to put 6 months' rental deposit down. And I went, oh my goodness, you know. So I came home and thought, okay, so what am I going to do about this? And I sat quietly in meditation, as I do on a daily basis anyway, and somebody popped into my mind who had said to me, call me if you need help, and 2 days later the money was in the bank. And it's kind of happened organically like that all the way through. And it's not that we've it's been an easy path, because it's been very challenging because we didn't have an infrastructure. And I think if somebody had said to me, do a business plan at the beginning and, you know, put me in a box and try, and it wouldn't actually have happened. So it probably only happened because I had the complete freedom to just respond to what was in front of me and the opportunities that came forward. But we now do have a business plan, and we now are a more structured charity.
So was that the first time you were involved in a charity?
Oh, completely. Oh. I had no idea what I was doing.
And yeah. Had you done any fundraising before? What was the
I've
first
never
time
done anything you like that? No. But you know, I think when you really believe in what you do and you see the benefits to the people, you know, for me, it's the children with special needs, and you see how extraordinary the changes are that the yoga does for them, or the benefits that they get from it, you know. And I'm very passionate about yoga, and I'm very passionate about helping children anyway. It kind of just takes you on a trajectory, really.
So the expansion you've described is quite sort of organic from the sting of this charity. Was there a moment when you felt, okay, now this is my job, I'm officially the chief executive of this charity?
Oh, no, I didn't. I never even named myself the chief executive until a couple of years ago, when somebody, one of the business people that came in to support us, said, well, do you realise that's the role you play? And I went, oh, OK. Because they're just titles. They're kind of in many ways meaningless to me. You know, what's meaningful is the work that you do, not what they call you.
How big is the charity now?
Well, at this moment in time, we have about just over £500,000 a year turnover, and we have 6 full-time staff, probably 22 yoga therapists working for us in and around London, and some of the surrounding counties as well.
What have been the biggest changes you've witnessed in the past 7 years?
I think it grew very fast, and I don't think I ever really had a plan of whether we were going to go into schools. I think I had an intention that yoga should be made accessible to all children, and I still hold that. And we're now developing some programs that are more accessible to schools, for schools to use. And we've actually launched it in a couple of special needs schools at the moment, to huge success, I have to say. And I think, you know, the success markers have been, you know, things like seeing a child really transform. You know, for me, you know, if you have a non-verbal child who starts to speak, or a child whose mother's been told this child will never be anything other than vegetative, who you get sitting and you get being able to move, you know, a little bit independently, those for me are huge markers. And, you know, and then we have had fundraising events that have been, I've sat and wept through, because I was so astonished at the level of support that has come out to support us. And now launching a new project to actually get yoga into schools, and, you know, where the children are really transforming, these are the big moments for me, you know.
So I know you're also currently working on the rebrand, is that correct? Or looking at
we're not really rebranding. I mean, I think that what we're looking to do is just to, well, it has been done actually by having had a business plan put into place. So it required me thinking about, where do I want to be in 5 years? What do we want to achieve, and how are we going to do it? And can we do it? And I'm not somebody that says we can not do anything. I think you can do anything, actually. I think you just have to have the drive and the impetus. And, you know, I have to say that the staff that support me are extraordinary because they're very underpaid and they work incredibly hard and everybody's incredibly passionate.
I had the pleasure of meeting some of them and visiting them, the centre recently. It's very, found it a very inspirational place. And I went there to talk to your team about digital and the website. I mean, you're working on a new right. on a new website. And I wanted to ask you to which extent do you feel the internet and social media change or will change the way you operate?
Well, I think that, you know, when you've been a relatively small organisation and you are being, you're trying to look at increasing your profile and get more people to know about the work that you do, I think that the social media is very important. You know, it's a very important marketing tool today.
Do you yourself use Twitter?
No. Okay. I don't know how to Twitter yet. they're trying to teach me how to Twitter. But for me at this very moment, although I totally get the value of it, I don't know where I'd put the time to do it in my very busy schedule. I'd rather see more children than Twitter.
So you're obviously managing the charity. You're still practicing yoga, and do you still deliver the services, still helping children?
Well, I couldn't do what I do if I wasn't able to get my hands on the kids. I don't want to be an administrator. That was never my intention, and really I don't think I could be a full-time administrator. I mean, I'm happy to do an aspect of it, but actually what really makes my heart sing is getting on the floor with the kids and seeing the changes in front of my eyes, so, and working with the parents and working with the families. So it's, for me, it's a juggling act in many ways to, you know, lead the profile of the organisation, work with the children, lead many of the training programmes, although I'm bringing more people in to run training programmes now. And I don't run the day-to-day operation. I have a centre manager and I have special needs coordinators. So my staff are very supportive in, you know, allowing me to do what I need to do.
I want to ask you about the recession, because the recession has a big impact on the sector, and I want to know if you've been affected by the recession.
We have been affected by the recession. I think we've been affected in a number of ways, actually. First of all, our statutory funding got cut last year. So that was supporting our classes for children with autism and our summer holiday programs and school holiday programs, half-term programs. There was a big project I'd been asked to do by one of the local councils to train up some parents and staff to deliver yoga, and everything got cut. And, you know, so you have to say, OK, so how are we going to manage it? I mean, I think, you know, one has to become a problem solver as you hit into recession. You have to be more creative. Certainly people are spending less money on going to yoga. So the yoga centre aspect of it, which supports the work that we do. I wouldn't say the numbers have decreased, but I wouldn't say they've increased. And people are looking for deals all the time, which, of course, means the income back to you is less. And, you know, working in schools has become more challenging, and we're inundated right now with schools phoning saying, please, will you come and provide services to us? But we've got no budget. And at this moment, at this very moment in time, we don't have the financial resources to support that. So I think it's got quite a big impact. And certainly what I'm seeing with the parents of children with special needs is, you know, a lot of them, their support has been reduced as well. And they have so little anyway. I mean, it's just, it breaks my heart, actually. So, you know, then you feel like you want to step in and give them more. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, where are our resources going to come from? And, of course, the private sector's being hit up now. So yeah. It's a challenging time.
And at the same time, we're hearing about the big society. Do you think there would be some opportunities for a small charity like yours?
I think we provide a very valuable service, and I would hope that we are, you know, the big society supports us in whatever way, you know, the government choose to run the big society in order to support charities. Clearly what we have to do, and what, you know, is to prove that the work that we do has a value, so that it's not anecdotal and it's not inaccessible to people that don't practice yoga or have a misunderstanding of yoga as a fitness as opposed to a therapeutic program. So we're now putting in place monitoring and evaluation. We're in discussion at the moment with UCL to do a two-year research study on the value of yoga for autism, for children with autism. And I think that that's what we have to do and what probably most charities have to do now to prove that what you offer, the service that you offer, really works so that the government pays attention. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can get the backup and support of the private sector within the big society to run your operation.
I've met some chief executive of larger charities, and my feeling's been that sometimes when you work for a large organisation, it's quite difficult to change direction or grasp opportunities. Do you feel that as a smaller charity, you can change, you can be more adaptable, change directions quickly?
Well, I think you can, but what you also risk is, you know, I think there's two sides to that. One is, yes, you can, absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's not that difficult to say, well, actually, if this isn't working, let's try that. But the other side of it is, you know, there's always, you know, a bigger picture of a number of opportunities in front of you. And, you know, I have the kind of enthusiasm, oh, let's try this, let's try that. But actually what that does is it takes you off. It can also take you off course. So it's a question of having that flexibility, but still staying on the trajectory forwards that you're moving in on.
Have there been any big opportunities that you regret to have missed or
no.
Were too late to grab?
No, I've tried everything that's come my way.
So, and what do you see as your main challenges in the next few years?
I think having run a charity now for 6 years, we, without huge resources and certainly without reserves in the bank, our challenge now is to build a board of people who can help support us to grow. And I think one needs to grow fairly, you know, fairly quickly and with strategic planning and with, you know, organisational tools and financial infrastructure that we haven't actually had to date. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for us. Not in terms of being able to necessarily deliver it, but to find the right people and for it to happen, because it's going to be a change in culture to some degree for us.
What would you like the Special Guest Centre to look like in 10 years?
Well, I'd like the Special Yoga Centre to really be regarded by both the government and the NHS, actually, as a service provider. I think that one of the things from an educational perspective that yoga does is it facilitates learning, because when children are, and it doesn't really matter whether they're profoundly autistic or whether they're, you know, less damaged in the mainstream environment, that children, you know, or from the disadvantaged communities, is that when children are in a calmer, or, you know, place with their brains more organised, which is what yoga gives you, then there's the capacity for learning. So I'd like to see yoga as part of a curriculum. And on the other side of it, I'd like to see us as a service provider for the NHS, because what I do see is that there's not enough physiotherapy, there's not enough occupational therapy, and I'm often get phone calls from physiotherapists saying to me, what did you do to this child? How did you get this child to do this, that or the other or whatever it is? And you realise that, you know, that physiotherapy is incredibly important, but actually yoga sits alongside it very well. And the same with occupational therapy. I think that we fill the gap that the NHS doesn't provide, which is providing a support system for the parents, something that the parents can do, the children can do together. I'd like to see it on the NHS.
My final question. Yeah. If you were not chief executive of the Special Yoga Centre, what would you be doing?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. Well, I think I'd still be working with the children. I mean, I might just be seeing a lot, you know, be serving a lot less children than we serve at the centre. I don't think I'd be doing anything different in terms of that work. But I, you know, see as many kids as I could see during the week and, you know, get it out there. For me, this is my life's path. I can't imagine myself doing anything else.
Well, thank you very much. That's been extremely inspirational.
Thank you.
That was Talk to the Leader with Bertie Boroidon. To find out more about this podcast and how to subscribe, go to nfp.org.uk.